Luke 22:54-62. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked internally at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Great. Thanks, Hunter. I appreciate that. If you guys would, just leave your Bibles there at Luke 22. We're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to these thoughts that Hunter read for us this morning. We're going to take a look at what happened here in this story with Peter, but we're going to kind of build upon it and maybe look at it from a different point of view. I hope everything comes together well this morning. Like I said, I'm feeling the effects of whatever medication that I'm on, so hopefully that everything is planned out with this lesson, that I'm able to make it through okay. So this morning, as I prepared the lesson, a couple weeks ago, I was asked by the Ohio Police of Chief of Police Association to come and give a talk on AI and cybersecurity, and then after, they let me stay for their dinner. And I said, sure, you know, that would be great. I'll hang out with everybody and talk to individuals. There was over 600 or 700 police officers there. Our police chief here at Waynesville was there, so it was good to see everybody. But one of the things that happened there, it kind of took me off guard. So the captain of the chief of police got up to lead a prayer. And his prayer was very interesting, and that's kind of where my basis of the lesson is going to be today. This is essentially what he prayed. It was only about 3 sentences. He said, "Thank you, God, for being there, even in times when I did not want you to be present." I was a little taken back by that. I looked over at my friend and I was like, well, that's a very interesting prayer. And I really started thinking about what he meant. I was thinking about his job and maybe what issues he runs into being a police officer. Now, he did go on to say, "Even though I didn't want you present, I was thankful that you were there." And I'm pretty sure he was reflecting on things that have happened in his life, maybe some of the decisions that he made, and the things that allowed him to go through it. And I was thinking how honest of a statement that was, to think that he may have wanted God to look away when he needed to make a decision, or when he was making a decision, but really, God was still there with him. So that really hit me, and that's kind of the premise of what I would like to talk about today. We are thankful that God is there anyway. We need God's presence and his mercy, even though sometimes we may want to resist that. We may want to do whatever we want to do, but God is there to make sure that we are correcting what we're doing, especially if we're studying God's word and following what he wants us to do. It may come into our mind that's like, you know, God, turn away from what I'm getting ready to do. Hopefully, that does not come into our minds. However, it is something that we may be faced with as humans. We know that we sin and fall short of the glory of God. So we know that God's presence may not always be comfortable, but it is always there, and it is always merciful. So when we were thinking about the lesson today, I was thinking about, why would we resist God's presence? When we think about God being with us, we think about our hearts needing to be always surrendered to God. His presence reveals what we would rather hide. His presence interrupts paths we should not continue. His presence convicts us of sin before it hardens us. His presence calls us back instead of leaving us alone. And then these four steps, these four ideas about trying to hide, trying to run, trying to flee, will be the main thought and the goal as we go throughout this lesson today. And I'm sure that as we talk about things this morning, hopefully there might be some stories that came to your mind that you may think of in the biblical context of where people did that. Can you think of when people ran? Can you think of when people tried to hide? Can you think of these instances? We probably can't. We don't have to go very far to find it. In Genesis 3, we already see where individuals are trying to hide from the presence of the Lord. We see that here in Genesis 3, the first humans ever are trying to hide. Here in Genesis 3, 8 and 9, God came looking for them after they had sinned, after they had done what he asked them not to do, when they both took upon that fruit. And I thought it was interesting that God asks the question there in Genesis 3, where are you? He knew where they were. It wasn't the lack of his knowledge, but it was more for them to identify what they had done. They were trying to hide from him because they heard him walking there in the garden. They tried to hide from him. So God exposed them and what had happened. They had to tell him what they had done. There might be another individual that you might be thinking about. Somebody that tried to run and flee from God. And I was actually thinking about using Jonah as the idea of this lesson. As you know, here in a little bit, we'll get into Luke 22. But really, this lesson could be wrapped around all of the decisions and thoughts that Jonah had. God gave him an assignment to go to Nineveh. But he rejects and he flees to Tarsus in Jonah 1. He ran from the presence of the Lord. Is that something we can do? Is that something that we're able to? Can we outrun him? Can we hide from him? Is there any place that we can go that we can just completely leave the presence? And then also that storm that came up. I think Jonah may have thought that it was the end of him. But God showed mercy. Not only did God show mercy to Jonah here, but he also did it to Nineveh. There's a lot that can be learned in that story when I was thinking about that prayer from that policeman. However, for most of the context today, I'd like to look again at Luke 22. Hopefully, you're still there. Because I'd like to look at Peter here as the story that we're going to think about this morning. So God was there when we were failing. We know from what Hunter read this morning that Peter denied Jesus three times from the reading. We see what happened. One of the most impactful parts of that story that I always think about is when the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Thinking about how he was led away on that cross, thinking about how he could physically must still have been able to see Peter at this time, especially if it was on a hill and everything that I've studied about, the vantage point of maybe where that was. And to think about that pain that it brought back to Peter. But it built a road back. It's not like Peter just completely failed here and it's the end of Peter's story. There's quite a bit that builds back from here. Because even though Peter may have not wanted God to be with him when he denied him, he was still with him. And then they built that relationship back. And I think about how he went out and just bitterly wept. That pain that he had. So when we think about this, Peter, when Jesus was there anyway, is kind of the thought or the scope of this here. Now in Luke 22 and 31, we're going to look at a couple verses here. But God's presence may reveal what's painful, but it also begins with a work of restoration. Because even though we may not want God with us, when we turn back to him, we know that we can be restored. Because Jesus knew that this was going to happen to Peter. He knew that he was going to deny him and turn away from him. Jesus knew this was going to happen and even warns Peter. So here in Luke 22, 31-34, it mentions that Peter was not abandoned before he failed. He was actually prayed for before it happened. So here in verse 31, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you." That's a concern right there. "That he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother." There is a lot that happened right there. And we're going to kind of build this out as we go through, building on this verse, just this verse 31. "And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me." This was a shock to Peter. As he kind of builds this out, I could imagine the love that Peter had for Jesus. And in this moment, he would have done anything for him. Are there times where we thought we were strong, that we could face anything, like Peter here, saying that he would go to him to death? However, when we face those times of trials, do we turn and wish that God wasn't looking? He wanted to be loyal, but yet he didn't understand where his own weaknesses were. Sometimes we may even resist God's presence, but his truth challenges story as we think about ourselves and what we face. Because as we look about this story that is here in Luke 22, as we think about this study this morning, where Peter followed as soon as Jesus was arrested, I just want to go back to these verses. Hopefully you're still here in Luke 22. Here in Luke 22, in verse 54, it says, "Having arrested him, they led him and brought him to the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance." to me, this starts this little bit of separation. He went from being able to follow him, making a statement that he would follow him, to death. But yet when Jesus was arrested, he followed at a distance. And I think about that following at a distance was enough so he could see where they were taking Jesus, but enough that he could fit in with the crowd, that he wasn't standing out. That as he followed, he knew where he was going. But he did not want to be a part of what had just happened. Now, there could have been shock of what just happened. There could be a lot of things racing through Peter's mind, because as we studied even this morning with Brad, that the apostles probably didn't even understand Jesus' death on the cross. There was probably a lot of things happening. And again, like I've often said, if I was in Peter's position, I probably would have done the same thing. Again, today's not a study to put down Peter or anything like that. It's just using as an example to think about these hard times that we're faced. Even knowing that God is with us, we need to keep him in our mind and his words. And as we know that he followed at a distance, there was even a time where he was pointed out of who he was. In verses 56, we see a servant girl. Now, a lot in the other things that I've studied before putting this sermon together, for some reason, a lot of the commentaries and texts point out that the servant girl was no significant importance in like the hierarchy of like the Jewish nation structure, right? This is just a servant girl. It's just basically like a bystander of no importance. But really, I was thinking a lot about that. It's really that he's being called out. It doesn't really matter the individual that's calling him out, but he's being called out as he sat by the fire. And looking intently at him and said, "This man also with him." But he denied him and said, "Woman, I do not know him." That's a very direct statement. And then continuing in verse 57, it says, "But he denied him, saying, Woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, You also are of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." I'd also studied that the Galilean dialect would have been different of that of Jerusalem, so that when Peter talked, they would have instantly have known that he was from Galilee. I don't know if that's true or not. It's just part of what I was reading as I was doing this study. To think that maybe he was easily called out, that they thought maybe, hey, this individual is with him. And then when the individual spoke, they were like, yes, that person's even from Galilee. I know that that person was with Jesus. And to think about the impact that that had on Peter. Because now at this point, he has denied Jesus three times. But something awoke in Peter. Because I think one of the most impactful things that happened here is in 61. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. When Peter remembered the words of the Lord and how he had said to him back in Luke 22, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. I don't know if anybody has had such an emotional state that you're almost sick and crying and weeping bitterly. I think of that bitterly weeping, that emotional state. It seems like the world has come down on Peter. The gravity of the situation has hit him so hard that he goes out and just weeps bitterly. That impacted him so bad. And I can't even imagine that today we talk about God being with us, but it's not an individual we see. We know that God is everywhere and all the time, but I couldn't imagine Jesus himself looking directly at you, knowing that you have turned away, that you wish he hadn't been there. To think about that impact that that had on Peter. But that doesn't mean that Peter is just done with God. It doesn't mean that he has just went away and that he is completely useless. We all know that Peter goes on to do multiple things for God. We know that this is not the end of his story. And just like us today, if we were to turn away from God and wish that he wasn't there with us, we know that he still welcomes us back. We see that physically here with Peter. After he denies him three times, I think this story is beautiful here because you have in Luke 22 where Peter and Jesus are there together and Jesus directly tells him what's going to happen. That event occurs. And then in the end of John, in John 21, where Jesus comes back to be with the apostles, we see this reunion back with Peter. We see them coming back together for this breakfast. And I think it's funny, here in John 22, if you start in verse 15, you see that Jesus asks Peter three times about him loving him. And he said to him three times, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved and said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I loved you." How many times did Peter deny Christ? How many times did Christ ask if he loved him? Peter was even kind of a little aggravated here. But to me, it's almost as a reminder. Three times you didn't acknowledge me when that opportunity came up. But three times I'm accepting your love back. We know that if we fall away from God, we know that we have that path back. There may be times where we were weak, just like how Peter was. But we're thankful that God was there anyway. We know that Peter was warned, just like we are, that we know that we'll run into trials and temptations. We know that we will also be weak. We know sometimes that we will be saddened by maybe the decisions we've made and things that have hurt us in our lives. But we know that we can come back to God for restoration. Because we know that God's presence was always there, whether we wanted it or not. But that's what helps leads us back. So just a couple other verses that I was thinking about to go along with our story this morning. Psalms 139. "Where can I go from your spirit? Oh, where can I flee from your presence?" There is nowhere we can go. We saw that from Jonah. We saw that from them being in the garden. There's nowhere we can flee. But why would we? Wouldn't we want God to be there with us to strengthen and encourage us? And in Psalms 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. We know that we're going to run into those trials and temptations. And see if there is any wicked in my way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We know that we want to be led back if we're following God and doing what he wants us to do. This morning, we've talked about all of these different areas here. We talked about hiding, about how Adam and Eve were hiding in the garden. Even though God knew where they were, he asked them. Even if we're hiding, we know that God can reveal us. We know if we're running like Jonah, God will interrupt that. We know if we're failing or falling, we know what to do. We know what's right, and God convicts us. We know if we go and try to be alone and tell God that we wish he wasn't with us, we know that he is still there. And we know if we were to return, he is there for us. We know that his grace is not simply God's presence, but grace is what helps brings us back. So today, when we think about our own hearts, are we hiding? Do we need God to interrupt our path? Are we resisting and wishing God wasn't there? And have we invited God, just like there in Psalms, to search us? Just like that prayer from that police officer, we need to thank God for being there even in times we may not have wanted him to be. We need to be strong and have God help us with our encouragement. We need to ask him to be welcome to be with us. So in closing, I was thinking about that prayer and thinking about what we could mention here in closing. And here I have, Lord, thank you for being present even when your presence is exposed. Because we may think about scriptures. We may think about, if I do this, I'm sinning. We may want him to turn away from us, but it exposes what we're doing. It may be interrupted. It needed to be corrected and convicted us. Search our hearts, lead us back, and teach us to welcome you where we once resisted you. And I was thinking that in Psalms 139 and 24 about leading us in that path. This morning, if you think you're going down the wrong path and you need prayers for the church, or if you understood that you were going down that wrong path and you're not a child of God, that you want that conviction, you want him to be there with you. We know we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We know we've all sinned. But we have to have that forgiveness of sins in order to continue with him. And we know that it's through the act of baptism, not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. And if anybody would need any prayers or would like to be baptized, please come forward as we stand and sing number 674.